Are we there yet? That's the mantra of children on a road trip. I don't know if you've ever driven across Canada with young people in your vehicle, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Are we there yet? Which then soon becomes, are we there yet? Moving more to a whine, are we there yet? That's kind of like Advent. It's kind of like adults who are trying to be annoying. I have a friend that I often drive around when he comes into town because he doesn't, instead of taking a taxi, and he'll say, are we there yet? Just to annoy me. And it sort of sounds like us every day in this consumer age. Are we there yet? Have we bought the latest thing? I had to replace my vehicle last week and my car hasn't come yet. Why not? Is it here yet? I asked a salesman regularly last week. Waiting carries many emotions. Anticipation, wonder, eagerness, dread, agitation, fear, longing, and loss. It kind of depends what we're waiting for, as to which emotion is attached to it. And sometimes it's not even what we're waiting for, but it's what we imagine we are waiting for. One of the things about us humans is that we have been gifted with imagination. And I think sometimes it is not so much a gift but a curse, because we can imagine what we might like, but as we know, life doesn't always actually measure up to our imagination. Now, it's especially time at this hard at this time of year to wait. We just want to get through it. It's cold, sort of. It's dark, kind of. It's gray. There's not so much sunlight, and it's time to just hibernate. We just want to get through it. And it's very difficult to be content with the present. We should know we have no doors. We've been waiting and waiting. And Brian said, you're going to say something about the doors, aren't you, this morning? I said, yes, I will. We're waiting still. They're supposed to come this week, but who knows how long we will wait. This morning at the 8 o'clock, I asked Paigette, who's about 3, who comes to the 8 o'clock service, how many weeks there were until Christmas, as we stood in front of the Advent wreath, and she said, 2. And I had to be the one to say, times 2, 4. 4. I'm sorry, it's 4. And she just looked at me. It's 2. No, it's 4. Waiting is actually a reality of life. But I think what really matters is how we choose to wait. How do we wait in this time? How do we keep alert? How do we stay awake? How do we do what we need to do with some sense of joy and presence in the midst of all the waiting that we do in our lives? And it seems to me that maybe what we're waiting for, or what would be helpful, is to realize that we're waiting for God to show up in our waiting. We need God to be present with us while we wait, not just in the future that we can imagine, or in the past that we either regret or remember fondly, but right now as we wait. The problem with preparation and waiting is that it's all focused in the future. When life is too much about that, where is the present? Where does it go? It disappears. It's like dust blown out of your hands. And so we must remember in Advent to live in this moment. And I think that's why Jesus says so strongly, keep awake, stay alert. Don't miss where you are thinking about what might come. And so we need to live in Advent presuming and assuming that God is here right now, and that changes things right now. Advent's preparation, waiting, anticipation is promise that our present is also changed. Yes, we want the wait to be over, no matter what it is. Waiting in your car, waiting some doors, awaiting some bad news, looking forward to some good news, looking forward to family at Christmas, dreading having to make the dinner. It doesn't matter what it is. We want it to be over. But God is with us in that. So does God just show up and say, it's okay, calm down? You know that thing, be happy, you know, just be happy? No, I don't think that is what God does at all. What if we're waiting in fear? Perhaps at this moment God comes with a touch of peace. What if we're waiting with great longing? Perhaps God arrives with a moment of deep and abiding satisfaction. What if our waiting is full of anticipation? Well, maybe God is right here with joy in the present. We need to keep alert, not so much about the future, but about what's going on right now for us. I was told a story this morning after the 8 o'clock service. One of our parishioners was walking across a bridge in Ottawa yesterday. There was a few to choose from, but she was walking across one of the bridges. And as she got about halfway across, she looked down and realized her shoelace was untied. Not a big deal for most of us, except she cannot bend down to tie up her shoelace. And considering the weather and the state of things, she was a little worried. How was she going to make it across the bridge with an untied shoe that she might trip on and hurt herself, and then be able to not able to continue? And so in that anticipation, that dread, those few moments, a woman walking by, arms full of all sorts of things, actually noticed and stopped and said, oh, your shoelace is untied. Let me get that for you. Put her stuff down and knelt in front of this woman and tied her shoelace and got up and carried on her day. As our parishioner said, that was an angel. I met an angel on the bridge yesterday. That is God being present for her and a reminder to us in the moment, exactly in that moment, not in the future, not in the past. In the midst of her waiting, her anxiety, her fear, her dread, there stepped God. And it's a reminder to us that we are absolutely dependent on the God who does that. If we only rely on the God of the past who informed us with tradition and all those great things, or we only look to God who's going to save us in the future, we miss that we're absolutely dependent on the God who walks with us in this very moment, in this present time. And I think that's something that we're called to do as a church. We're called to be a little countercultural, to not be so wrapped up in looking ahead, but to say, here we are. We're here now. We're here for you. We can look for the presence of Christ into every moment of loss and every moment of anticipation and every moment of fear and every moment of dread, in every moment of joy. That is who we get to be as the church. Because people's worlds shatter. You don't have to listen to the news for very long to know that. Not at all. We don't even have to look too deep under our own skin to know that. One thing I'm always reminded of is that we can never know what's going on in someone else's life. And it just takes a little scratch to see the pain that we carry at times. See, when we wait and anticipate, something will end when we get what we're waiting for. We will have to say goodbye to that sense of longing, dread, anticipation, joy, but something will end. And there's also a bit of grieving to be done as well. And so we have an opportunity to experience that with each other and for each other and to bring wholeness to each other and to the world around us, who really sometimes doesn't get it, as we stand in line for our quick service at McDonald's or Tim Hortons or the car company or wherever we are. So as Advent begins, think about waiting. What is it that you're waiting for? You all know I'm waiting for doors and a car. Those are kind of, you know, kind of first world problems. However, there are other things that I wait for in my life. What do you wait for? What do you anticipate? What do you fear? What do you dread? And what is it in this moment that will help you live with that? Help you appreciate the presence and the angels that will bring you grace in these moments. Jan Richardson has written a poem called Blessing When the World is Ending. I'm going to read it for you. Look, the world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere, the sun has come crashing down. Somewhere, it has gone completely dark. Somewhere it has ended with the gun, the knife, the fist. Somewhere it has ended with the slammed door, the shattered hope. Somewhere it has ended with the utter quiet that follows the news from the phone, the television, the hospital room. Somewhere it has ended with a tenderness that will break your heart. But listen. This blessing means to be anything but morose. It has not come to cause despair. It is simply here because there is nothing a blessing is better suited for than an ending. Nothing that cries out more for a blessing than when a world is falling apart. This blessing will not fix you, will not mend you, will not give you false comfort. It will not talk to you about opening one door when another closes. It will simply sit itself beside you, among the shards, and gently turn your face toward the direction from which the light will come, gathering itself about you as the world begins again. May we live this Advent as though God's presence is assumed. Here and now, which will change the reality of our moment, of our present. Let's not wish it away. Let's not wish away these 4 weeks of anticipation and dread and hope and fear and joy and some sorrow. Let us be fully embodied as Jesus became for us. So, Lord, do not delay may sound a lot like, are we there yet? But perhaps instead we can say, we're here and we're going to be there too. Let's make it not just a claim of or a cry for urgency, but a claim of the promise of God's presence here and now. Happy Advent, happy New Year, happy endings and new beginnings.